everybody. Welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host, Luke, with Chris. And we are recording after the Sixers' disappointing loss against the Detroit Pistons. But we have some other things to talk about besides that, right, Chris? How's your week going so far? Did you enjoy beating me in fantasy basketball?
Yeah, I did. Thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
won my fantasy football league this week, too. I'm feeling pretty good about things.
Still losing in the league, though, right?
Oh, I wasn't even talking about our league. I need to maybe check that one more often. But for those who've been listening to the podcast for a long time, it will comfort you to know that I'm also kicking Uriah's you-know-what in fantasy basketball this week. So my season is off to a good start.
Too bad you couldn't draft Chet.
It is what it is, you know. I mean,
Did you get any Thunder players?
I got J-Dub. I didn't even make my first six picks. I'm still rolling, so. Shows you how the competition stacks up.
I don't like how the scoring is in that league, but anyway.
Yeah, you know, excuses. We're all playing with the same rules, pal.
So,
my week's been fine. This game was not very fun to watch.
But before we get into that one, let's rewind.
We got to go through some other games that weren't that fun to watch
first.
Let's talk about the Raptors game first here, Lucas. 115-107, Toronto won. That was the first one of the season for the Raptors. Maxey, 24 points on 23 shots. He's really struggled for a good chunk of this opening to the season.
Which we'll talk about more later. Yeah.
Yeah. What stood out to you in this game, Lucas? Good and bad?
I mean, the good is, you know, at least Maxey wasn't alone. You got a really great game from Kelly Oubre, 28 points on 17 shots. Pretty good efficiency overall. In a rare case, Drummond did not break 10 rebounds, which is weird for him considering the amount of minutes that he got. Yabu played okay. That was about it. Like, there's not too much to write home about. I mean, Kyle Lowry had 14 points in his first start of the season. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I can really say about this. Negatives, I mean, look, there's just not enough. With Maxey being the lone guy here, and we kind of touched on this a little bit last time, and we'll talk about it more later. It's really hard to generate offense, especially because he's not like a natural creator for others.
Yeah. I think a lot of us were kind of hoping that Maxey would take a leap in that department this season. It's been a bit frustrating to watch him kind of revert to some old habits here, and it doesn't seem like he's made the leap that we were anticipating. I'm fairly confident that he's going to look a lot better next to Joel and Paul George, which is what matters at the end of the day. But I think a lot of Sixer fans before the season would have said, Tyrese, when it comes down to it, if he needs to be the number one guy for a couple nights, he can pull it off. And he just hasn't really been pulling it off. He's putting up plenty of points, but it's just not really in a way that's conducive to winning. And the team around him is not performing up to the level that they need to. That's not all on Tyrese. A lot of that is that this team is just not made to survive without Joel Embiid and Paul George.
And no team really would be.
No team would be. But this a lot of the warts in this lineup in this rotation in this roster are really apparent when those guys are out. And like every team has warts when their top guys are out. It's not unique to Philly, but I'm sure that these are issues we're going to be talking about all season up and through the trade deadline. But
I do have one concern, and this is a common theme here. Instead of going to Bono, who I think we both agree is ready to be at least a spot minute backup guy, third string, they're going to Yabusele, who, I mean, has the physical strength, but the stature just isn't there to play backup center the amount of minutes that they're playing him.
Yeah, like, I mean, Bona is a second-round pick. I don't really know if we can really – I don't think that's, like, the main issue here. Like, I don't think we should expect drastically different results with Bona playing 17 minutes instead of Yabu. Like,
I mean, Yabu should be playing 17 minutes, just not at center.
Yeah, I don't know. I think offensively it works really well. Obviously, the defense is less than ideal, but I think with Bona, you're probably going to run into foul trouble and different issues that are just inherent to most young centers. So I understand it. Like, he's the 40-something pick. He's just not going to play. It is what it is. I don't think that's really what's holding Philly back. I think it's really the size on the wing and on the perimeter is where they're really...
Well, I think it's something else. I think it's something else, but I'm going to wait until we get to that segment about. So, okay. Do you have a player of the game?
Player of the game. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Player of the game. You know, this is kind of a lousy performance. We almost don't deserve a player of the game.
I'll give it to Kelly. He's not going to get it too often this season once everybody's healthy. I don't know.
I mean,
I'll give it to Kelly.
Kyle. Sure. Yabu plus 5 in a loss.
him and who is it? Eric Gordon.
Yeah. Kelly led the team in scoring pretty efficiently. Yeah. I'll give it to Kelly too, but like
there you go.
It's not what you want. Toronto is a really bad team right now, and this is just a bad loss.
It was a bad loss, but there is a bright spot in this week stretch is that the Sixers did play the Indiana Pacers, and we did come away with a overtime win, 118-114. Chris, what is the good and bad from that game?
I mean, good is that they won.
Yes, they did win.
Maxie had a really good second half, kind of broke through his funk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ended with 45 points. Like,
still not efficient,
not like super. I'm not going to complain about 45 points.
Okay.
Oubre.
It was an Oubre game. It was an Oubre game.
Caleb was pretty good in this game.
Granted, not efficient, turnovers, but good.
Yeah, the turnovers were an issue. You know, Indiana also not really playing that well out of the gate here. They're about to beat Boston, I think. So we'll.
Halliburton is just struggling.
Yeah, it's been a slow start for Halliburton. Really bad defense still. Like, this is not a super impressive win. Obviously, this took overtime.
You know, they lost James Wiseman for the season. Obviously,
Wiseman's like a backup center.
I know. Let me be facetious. I was being facetious. You got to let me finish.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's too late now. Fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't very funny, Lucas. I'm sorry.
I'm sick. Cut me some slack.
Yeah. Like, Eric Gordon had his best game of the season. So I suppose that's a positive, except that it means he might be playing more. Look, they won. They eked it out in overtime. Maxie had a really great second half. You take a win at this point in the season without Joel and without Paul, especially against, like, ostensibly still a good team or an okay-ish team in the Pacers. So, yeah, there's a positive there. When it is sandwiched between a lot of really bad play, it's less exciting, but a win's a win.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, definitely a win is a win. You know, this was the start of Maxi breaking out of his slump a little bit. But still, just he's having a really hard time with efficiency. We'll talk about that more later. But yeah, look, he's... And he basically won this game. There were only three other players that scored in double digits, and nobody scored more than 17. So, yeah, this was the Tyrese Maxey, I'm going to win this game for us. A lot of bad in here, too. I mean, just, you know, not really efficient shooting from a lot of people. Did get to see a Jared McCain sighting, so that's fun. And he made another sighting. You know, I want him to get more minutes. I think, you know, I think it's fair to say he's probably better than Eric Gordon at this point in his career. So, despite, you know, McCain being a rookie, he's better than Gordon already. So, I want him to take over those minutes altogether. He looked really good in the game that we watched tonight, which, and my play of the game obviously is Maxi. I'm assuming yours is too. We can move on from that.
No, I was going to go with Jerry McCain.
Jerry McCain, 4 points.
No, it's Maxie. Okay, let's talk about the Pistons.
This one is still fresh.
Okay. Highlight of my night, Lucas. at halftime, I flipped to the Bulls Magic game, and Orlando is such a sick team right now.
Oh, yeah, they're really good. We'll be talking about them around the NBA. Don't worry.
Magic are sick right now. That was my favorite part of watching the Sixers game tonight, was changing the channel to watch the Magic. As far as the actual Sixers game goes, yeah, sucks. Obviously, Tobias made his return to Philly, had some very thoughtful comments before the game about his time here. Got booed in the intros, got booed every time he touched the ball. And he kicked our butt, so it is what
I
it
mean,
is.
Kind he of was okay. What you'd expect. He
pretty much stymied every Sixers run. Like, Tobias made a lot of big shots in this game. You know, credit to him. This was inevitable. Like, of course, he was going to like want to show out tonight. Finished with 18 points on 18 shots, 14 rebounds, though. Played some pretty good defense.
15 rebounds.
14 on ESPN. I don't know.
14 defensive rebounds, 15 total.
No.
14. That's what ESPN says total. Right here, dude.
Well, my ESPN says something different.
Well, your ESPN's lying to you.
Let me refresh here. Let's settle this once and for all.
Are you using your phone or the computer?
No, I'm on my computer, bro, and it says
14. I'm on my computer too, dude. I'll refresh too.
Your computer's wrong. I'm sorry. Anyways, 14 whatever. Rebounds. Plus 5 for Tobias. Tim Hardaway at 16. 22 for Cunningham. Jaden Ivey was really sick tonight, unfortunately.
Had two highlight dunks.
Had two very, very cool dunks.
Yes.
Yeah, as far as the Sixers go, another, like, better game for Tyrese. Had his moments. Didn't really shoot the three well, but got other stuff inside the arc. I would say, in general, though, the offense around Tyrese in this game was pretty lousy.
Yeah.
Only three double-digit scores. One was McCain, who got a couple of those buckets in garbage time.
Yeah.
Like, really lousy. Just not a lot of movement, not a lot of penetration. They're standing around quite a bit, and Detroit's defense really just swallowed them up. They 95 points in today's NBA is not a lot, especially against a Pistons team that was 0-4 going into this. They're not a good team. Pretty lousy performance, Lucas. Do you have any good things to take away from this?
He got playing time too, and he got a point. Good for 2 points. Good for him. Jeremy McCain getting 22 minutes. I mean, some of that was garbage time, but he was getting in the rotation. He was making the right reads. I really like the potential of those two down the road. I really do. You know, outside of that, you know, you had a few Kelly Oubre plays that were really kind of intense, you know, defensive plays, you know, finishing in the lane. But I mean, overall, like, tell me, like, it feels like Andre Drummond's like a little bit out of shape. Like,
I don't
know,
man.
Look like he's moving quite the same as he did like last time he was here.
Well, he's older.
I mean, but he's only like what, 31? LeBron James is almost 40 and had a triple double this past week.
I mean,
okay?
Drummond's 31. He's a big dude. He's been jumping up and down a lot in his career. I mean, look, Drummond has...
Because it looked Duren was outplaying him, and I know, like, Drummond's stronger than him, so, but, like, he was getting bodied by Duren before
Duren's
he got...
Duren's pretty ripped. Duren's...
I mean, I get that,
strong.
But, like, I don't know, man. Anyway, I was a little concerned. I mean, Drummond still ended with 11 rebounds, 9 points. It's not like it's a bad thing. I was just a little concerned, I guess. I don't know. It was just something small, but, look...
Yeah.
Maxie can't win you a game by himself. You need to have at least like one other person score 20 points with him if you're gonna have a chance.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, the real tragedy of this game is that we didn't get to see B-Ball Paul.
Yeah, he didn't play. That was kind of surprising considering that Duren fouled out with like 11 minutes played.
Yeah, you know, they went with Stewart, who's the better player.
He is a better player than B-Ball Paul, so he should have gotten. Did he get a tech for that throwdown on Drummond?
I think so.
Good.
Someone got a tech there. Stewart plays hard. You gotta respect it.
Yes.
True. Just really lousy performance. Like, really not a lot of positive thoughts for me for this game. Like,
who's your player of the game?
You mentioned Oubre. Oubre kind of pissed me off in this game. Like, we had some really bad Oubre moments where he's just driving into traffic without a plan, that kind of stuff.
I mean, sometimes it worked out.
Oubre as the number two is a whole lot.
It's a terrible idea.
It's bad. He's a lot better when he's the third or fourth guy around some stars. Yeah. So I think Oubre will look better once, again, everyone will look better once Joel and Paul George are back. But I was very frustrated with the offensive process in this game. As far as players of the game go, again, not a lot of positive stuff. KJ had a really cool block. Tyrese scored 32. You like have to give it to Tyrese, I guess, but not the best game. You could maybe make a case for McCain, but
I mean, I kind of wanted to make a case, but I'll go with Maxey just to keep it, you know, kosher.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that we're done with the games, because that was kind of depressing, not going to lie, let's get to, you know, the core of the Sixers' problems. You know, Maxey's struggling with efficiency without co-stars. Paul George and Embiid continue to miss time. They could be out. They could be back by Saturday, but no guarantee on that by the sounds of it. Can the team be successful without both of them? We kind of already touched on this a little bit. Chris, your thoughts?
No.
No. No team is going to do well when two of their top three players are going to miss that, miss time, especially at the beginning of the season when there's no flow or anything. You're trying to establish something, and it's really hard. And no matter how good Maxey is, and granted, Maxey, he's not a playmaker. We know that. We thought he was going to get a little bit better. Maybe he can be when he's not focused on trying to carry the team offensively. But, I mean, right now, definitely his most inefficient start to a season. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, we're assuming that he can. Maxey's really good at spot-up shooting. You know, he's going to get those opportunities with Joel and Paul George. So just give it some time. But also, I don't like him, doing, the, dribble, James Harden three-point shot, five or seven times a game. It seems like once or twice is fine, but when you do it that many times, it's not going to end well, right?
I think we're kind of at the point where it's like, who else is going to do anything?
Fair.
I would, if you're arguing that he should be driving the lane a bit more, especially in this game, I think that's fair. I think he settled. I think everyone settled for some pretty bad shots. And there wasn't a lot of ball movement, and that kind of starts with Tyrese. I don't mind him taking I think he's good at that shot. I think it's a fine shot. I'm not super mad at that specifically, but yeah, the process hasn't been great with Tyrese. I think, you keep saying, he's going to be better once Joel and Paul George get back. I'm not worried. I'm not, panicking about Tyrese's start. He works really hard, and he's going to get better at the things he's struggling with, he'll turn it around full stop eventually. I'm not worried, but I do think this team is in a pretty dire spot, really, whenever Joel misses time. Even once Paul George is back, I think this is still a team that'll probably struggle a fair amount.
Yeah, because the East has gotten better. The East has gotten better for the most part.
The whole league has really gotten better. Philly's going to have their work cut out for them if Joel misses 30 or 40 games, which seems very possible at this point.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely. Yeah. The team was fined $100K for how they misrepresented Joel's injury. You know, they said it was knee management. It was actually a knee contusion by the sounds of it. Got fined. Wasn't fined for, player participation. He was actually injured. It's just how they presented it was the problem. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't see the contusion part. They said condition, I think.
I thought it was contusion. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a report from I believe Sam Amick of The Athletic, basically kind of hinting that there's some instability that they're worried about, which worries me quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
let's just get to next season already. Look, it's not great. It's clearly this has not been some long plan to keep him out for the first week. He's hurt. We know officially now that he's hurt. On some level, we don't know exactly how he's hurt or what's going on because they won't tell us, which is a choice.
That's technically they're supposed to release that stuff. Like, professional athletes do not have HIPAA protection, apparently, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's a choice not to communicate better with your fans. Like, there's no benefit to leaving us in the dark to the exact. Like, just tell us what's going on here. You know what I mean?
Are you trying to do gamesmanship here, or like what?
You're just making people worried. You're just making people think up the worst possible scenarios in their head. Like, just tell us what's wrong, and we'll deal with it emotionally in the moment. But there's like whole like cat and mouse. Like, we're not really going to tell you when or where or how he's doing. I don't dig it. I think it's pretty lame. Okay. But yeah, I mean, like, Joel, like we've talked about, he's not going to play back to backs. That's 15 games off the schedule already.
He's missed, that gives him a 67.
So he's at 62 already.
Yeah, he's not going to qualify for any postseason. He's not stuff.
Like, that was out the window already. But like, if he only plays 45, 50 games, 40 games, like,
and can you? I'm worried. Do you have enough rhythm and chemistry at that point? Probably not.
I'm worried. At least, like, I'm more worried about making the playoffs to begin with than like. Are they going to be up to speed to beat Boston?
Well, the question is, can Paul George and Maxey do enough to carry this team into, like, the play-in or playoffs?
I think the play-in is reasonable, but, like, if they're in the play-in and Joel hasn't played 40 games, there's no way I'm picking them to beat, really, New York, Cleveland, or Orlando, much less Boston, is really what it feels like right now. So,
yeah.
I really am like kind of worried. I'm not feeling good about things.
No, that's fair. That's fair. So until those two come back, who can step up with Maxey? Who needs to and who can?
Well, like everyone needs to. I think like the obvious ones are Kelly and Caleb.
I mean, Caleb, like, I outside think, of that one crazy playoff run, like, he's like maybe a 14-15 point per game guy.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think
and Kelly can maybe get you 18 efficiently, maybe.
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, you'd probably need more out of Caleb. I'd want Caleb doing more as opposed to Kelly, personally.
But Caleb can't really do that much off the dribble.
Look, you're not going to get, like, Kevin Durant numbers, but, like, he can dribble and shoot.
Well, and like I said earlier, I want more McCain. Like, McCain should be, I think right now, you know, with, I think Eric Gordon should be out of the rotation. McCain should be getting between, like, 20 and 24 minutes per game. See what he can give you. Like, it should be, like, him and Kyle Lowry and Maxey as a three-guard rotation. I think I think McCain could surprise some people because he's actually a really good finisher. And if he can get into a rhythm with his 3-point shot, well, that's going to put the Sixers in a much better place.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with like the current state of things when Joel and Paul aren't playing, like you really don't have much to lose by seeing if this guy can get up to speed quickly. Kyle, love him to death, like Reggie Jackson. These guys aren't going to be high-level creators of offense at this point. With Tyrese being the only guy who can semi-reliably do that right now, like you need someone else out there who's able to create a little bit off the dribble and also set up teammates. So I would be in favor of giving McCain more minutes for however long Joel and Paul miss. And really... once they're back too, like I think there's a pretty strong case for keeping him in the rotation. Yeah, you know, it's really like pretty bad vibes right now.
Not super fun. We've talked enough about the Sixers. Quick, let's wrap things up around the NBA, and you have something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning just because this guy has been connected to Philly now.
Has he?
Yeah, so Golden State obviously did not come to terms on an extension with Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay.
That means he's going to be a restricted free agent next offseason. They very famously did not trade for Paul George or Larry Markkanen this summer. They apparently called about Kat. They called about Jimmy. DeRozan was considering the Warriors. He said, like, all these guys were connected in some way, shape, or form to Golden State, and the Warriors got none of them, and they look pretty good without them. Like, the Warriors are going to be fine. They got solid
depth. Buddy Hill looks like the second coming of Klay Thompson at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but, like, they'd obviously be better with Paul George or Larry Markkanen.
Of course, of course.
And the reason those guys aren't on the team, a lot of it is, like, Pajimski, I think, was more quoted by Utah. But with the Clippers, it really seems like not trading Kuminga was the holdup there. So they kept
Kuminga. I think it was also, like, you know, they're in the same division and they didn't want to trade him in division, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Conference. But, like, I think it's fair to say that not trading Kuminga is some level of, they're showing some level of faith in the guy, but not enough to pay him, which I think is justified. I don't think he's earned a max contract. And not enough
to start him, even though they had some people out this last couple of games.
Yeah, so that's the thing. He's been benched now, which I think is more of a lineup choice. I don't think it's really some, like, condemnation of how Kuminga has played. Kerr said it was for spacing purposes, which is fair, honestly. Like,
he's not the best spacer. I think Kuminga makes
sense with the second unit there, but as a guy who you might need to pay a lot of money in a year or risk losing him for nothing, or you know, it's kind of a weird situation. Kuminga doesn't seem too happy about it. He's had some rifts with Kerr in the past. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out, Lucas. Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report said that two teams that would be interested in trading for Kuminga are the Sixers and the Nets. Which is kind of, I don't really know what the Sixers would be giving up there. It'd obviously be like AJ and picks, I guess. But
yeah.
That's kind of a weird trade for Philly. I don't know if I totally buy it.
Is it weird?
You have to pay the guy at the end of the year. You already got three max contracts on the books.
Well, you're not going to have to pay him a max. You could probably get him.
That's what he wanted from Golden State. That's why he's not signed to something right now. So he's going to want as much money as he can get. Other teams are going to be able to offer him a big offer sheet, like Brooklyn. And you already have three maxes on the book. I don't know if Kuminga is like a great fit with that.
He's probably not.
I'm a little skeptical of Philly trading for Kuminga. If it happens, we'll deal with it. But I thought that was interesting. And I am fascinated to see what happens the rest of the season with him.
Well, the question is, could he start as the four?
I mean, he would. If Philly trades for him, he'd easily be the starting four.
Could he fit with the space? Well, I guess you don't really need a spacing four because Joel can space.
Yeah, look, it's not like he can't shoot at all.
Yeah, no, it's not like Ben Simmons. So, like, you could make it work. The question, I guess he would be like a fourth option. And honestly, that would probably be his best role as of now.
He would be a much better version of Kelly, I think, is like a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And look, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like want to trade the Clippers pick in too much for him, but...
Well, I mean, I don't think you might... It depends. I mean, like, what is Brooklyn trying to trade? If I'm Brooklyn, like, are you going to give up your own picks in this next upcoming year? Because it looks like you're going to be going... No,
Brooklyn has more than that. They have more stuff to trade.
Like what?
They have prospects, other picks.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
the
Suns picks, like all that fun stuff. Like they have.
I wonder why Nick Claxton isn't starting for them. Because Ben Simmons didn't play this last game for them, and Nick Claxton was still not coming. Was still coming off the bench. I just found that weird. Anyway. Yeah. No. That's a fair point. I didn't even realize that. That's a good one. I'm going to talk about the East here. Two teams that have really just kind of stuck out to me. First one, Paolo Banchero had a 50-point game this weekend, or beginning of this week, and was fantastic. Guy's looking like a real superstar. You know, I don't know if he's going to be in the MVP conversation, but he's going to be an all-NBA player. It looks like all signs are indicating that. It was just a fantastic 50-point game in Orlando, like you mentioned earlier. Very big surprise in the East. Jalen Suggs, last couple games, has been on fire. Picked him up in our fantasy league. Look, they got it figured out. I think they got the formula. And, I think... Go ahead.
I agree. I think we, like, need to be cautious about, like, it's been five games. Wagner, Suggs are both shooting like 45% from three on 7 attempts per game. I don't know how sustainable that is.
I mean, but if they go, let's just say they come back down to earth to between like 38 and 35%, that's still really good.
Yeah, I think the volume is very encouraging. I'm sure they're going to come back down to earth on some level, but they do look sick. They're an awesome defensive team. Paolo is just like an unreal athlete. Like, the strength is really impressive. He's just plowing through guys right now. Obviously, the KCP addition helps a lot with the shooting. Like,
even though he's not even shooting that well this year, just the threat of him.
Yeah, and he's going to shoot better. So that'll also even back out. So yeah,
Anthony Black looks like a quality backup point guard too.
Yeah,
and so, you know, Jet Howard is getting some minutes. Jonathan Isaac is healthy. They have, you know, they, and Cole Anthony, you can still use him as a spark plug off the bench. So, like, and by the way, they're playing against tonight against the Bulls, who the Bulls, I hate to say this, but they actually don't look half bad. They don't look half bad. They're 2-2 right now. But, like, you know, Zach LaVine looks like he's back outside of this game. And, you know, like, Vucevic, Cole, you know, Cody White, Giddey looks solid. You know, like, overall, just it's impressive what the East is going through right now. And, you know, we talk about the East standings. Orlando is third in the East. Cleveland's number one. Boston's two. Orlando's three. New York's four. Miami's five. Chicago's sixth right now.
So, you know, pause.
Yes.
Again, five games or whatever, nothing matters yet.
Yeah.
I remember before the season where I told a certain someone on a certain podcast, hey, the Cavs might be pretty good, and I think you're underrating them a little bit. And that certain someone was like, no.
Okay.
They're going to have to trade Mobley or something.
I think I said Allen, and, but okay.
You know, I'm putting words in your mouth.
Yes, you are. look, they've looked great. Allen has, you know, Kenny Atkinson has unlocked Mobley.
Shocking. They have a good coach. Darius Garland is healthy. Mobley looks awesome. He's improved. Mobley
looks awesome.
Young 23-year-old or whatever, Evan Mobley has somehow gotten better.
Yes.
After an offseason of training.
Yes.
Cavs look really good.
Kudos to you. They Cavs did beat the bit,
I think.
They beat the Lakers today. Kudos to you.
Very convincingly, I might add.
Yeah, by the way, the Lakers have looked pretty good up until this game too.
JJ Redick, the new Pat Riley?
I don't know, but you know, the one weird thing that they have in the lineup is that they have Dean Wade in there. Is he there? Who's the three and who's the fours? Oh, Mobley's obviously guarding wings because Dean Wade can't do that. So, like, is Evan Mobley a small forward this year? Is that what's going on? Is that how that's working?
I mean, like,
not that it really matters before in the grand scheme of things, but like,
yeah, no, I mean, that's like, again, one of the things that makes Mobley really special that some people don't seem to fully appreciate.
I mean, he had 25 points on no 3-point attempts, so
you can like, it, he can.
I will eat crow on that.
He's seven foot with a 7'6" wingspan, switching screens and guarding the top of zones and checking wings. Like, he's special. He's really good. He's added strength. He's playing really physical right now. He's like going at guys for buckets in the post. Like, I think this is legit stuff. So
yeah. Well, let me talk about the other team that's been kind of like just as bad of a disappointment as the Sixers, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks, who,
I mean,
beat us in game one, but they have not won a game since. Giannis and Dame have been doing their thing, but none of the role players have really stepped up. Doc Rivers has a losing record, you know, as the Bucks head coach. Thoughts?
I mean, I think you could kind of argue that they're a worse disappointment because their stars are healthy.
Yeah.
They have Giannis, they have Dame, and they're still losing very winnable games against bad teams.
Are they playing tonight?
I don't know. They fired Adrian Griffin. I think we all agreed was like not doing a very good job, but he was 30-13.
Yeah, I mean, like he didn't have the locker room, but he was having them win.
Right? Yeah, again, like five games, stuff will get better, blah blah blah. But like the whole like Doc was hired mid-season excuses out the window now. He's had a full summer to implement his scheme and to get
everybody's healthy besides Chris Middleton.
They're healthy. Middleton's hurt. That's a big thing, but that shouldn't make you 1-4.
It shouldn't have them 1-3.
Yeah, So, yeah, I'm worried about the Bucks. They're really old, and
I mean, Giannis is on what 31 now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like worried about Giannis specifically, but the roster around Giannis, I have some qualms with.
Brook Lopez, I mean, like they're arguably their third most important player. He's what, like 37 right now?
Mm-hmm.
37, 38. Hang on, I'm pulling it up here because I wanted to look at the stats for him. Brook Lopez, he is 36 years old. Middleton's 33. Brook Lopez is averaging 11 points, 5 rebounds this year, shooting 36% from the field. That's a career low as of now. Like 5 games, small sample size, shooting 23%. The only pro is that he's averaging 3.3 blocks per game, but most of those came against the Sixers anyway. So, like, Brook Lopez, like, you know, he's getting old. Like, they're going to, like, Giannis teased something about, like, oh, if we don't do well this season, I might get traded. He might.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if you went to your second favorite team, the Thunder? They could do it.
They could. It'll never happen, but
what if he like transitions from power forward to center, and then him and Chet are playing, you know, like,
you're too caught up. It's not a position thing. It's just not going to happen.
Why not? They have the assets. They
because
have the
he's
young players.
Going to want to go to Golden State or New York or some crap.
If he sees that the Thunder have a long way, he
Giannis
doesn't care
is
about
sold out. He's got his own TV show. Giannis is going to want to go to some big fancy market. He's not going to want to go to Oklahoma City. And, like,
I agree.
It would be amazing. They'd win, like, 5 straight championships. They'd be the best team since the Warriors at their peak. But I don't know. If it happens, I'll be ecstatic, you know?
I bet you would.
I'm starting the Thunder Sense podcast at that point.
Thunder Sense, okay.
Until then. I don't think it's just not going
to
happen.
By the way, shout out to Anthony Davis being one of the best players early on in the season, averaging the most points per game. Anthony Davis, is he in the MVP conversation or no?
If the season ended today, yes. I don't know if it'll last for 82 games.
Probably
knowing
not.
His track record, but
yeah. Cam Thomas, top 10 in scoring, 29 points per game. It's Cam Thomas's world, and we're just living in it. By the way, shout out to, what's his name? Jordan Poole, who's actually made a good transition to being the point guard of the Washington Wizards. Not played bad this year so far. Any other people you want to shout out? You know,
no.
By the way, Sabonis, I'm just going to put this out here. You know, we talked about, you know, you say that nobody's close to Jokic and all that stuff, but I just want to read this out to you real quick. Sabonis, this season, averaging 24 points per game, 11 rebounds, 5.5 assists per game. Granted, the assists are a little low, but, like, he can average 8 assists a game.
Yeah, those are, like, his standard numbers. Sabonis does this every season.
No. He did not average 24 points. He averaged, like, 20 points per game last year.
Okay.
Season.
Yes. He's not going to average 24 points all season. But
I'm sure he'll
have another 5-game stretch where he averages 24.
I mean, yeah, he's only averaged 20 points per game one season before. Otherwise, he's had under.
He has not averaged exactly, but 20, 11, and 7, 8 or whatever is very much within his
wheelhouse. So, like, if you're so in love with Jokic, why have I never heard you give love to Sabonis?
I have given love to Sabonis. He's very good. He's not as good as Jokic.
Okay, let me just ask you this right now. Top five centers in the NBA. You don't have to put them in any particular order.
God, I don't know. I don't have a list.
I can tell you off the top of my head who I have. Jokic, Joel, third, probably Sabonis, Bam, and I'll throw in Cat or Porzingis, whoever tickles your fancy. Actually, no, I'll take those two out and put in Victor. Victor's already top five center.
Jokic, Embiid, Victor, AD.
Oh, yeah, Shen. AD. I'll take out Bam and put in AD. But I still have Sabonis in the top five. Chet's not there for me yet.
Chet is there. Are you watching the Thunder at all? Have you watched the Thunder?
No, I have not overreacted the Thunder yet.
Sample sizes. Watch Chet.
Okay, I will watch Chet. But until then, I need to look at his stats. What is he averaging this year? Chet. Where is he? Chet.
This is the premium content that you guys tune in for.
Oh, there we go. 23 points. 13 rebounds, 3 blocks. Okay, that's really good. Not going to lie.
What are his shooting splits? What are
shooting splits right now are 56 and 20 and 66.
3 assists.
But to be fair, Julius Randle's right behind him in scoring. He's averaging 23-6. He's shooting 60% from the field, 62% from the three-point line, and 71% from the foul line, averaging 7 and 5 per game. By the way, shout out for Julie. By the way, shout out to Julius Randle for making the transition very seamless to
no.
What? Why not?
I don't want to. Why are we bringing him up?
Because he was right next to him on the stats thing for ESPN. Okay, that's why
Julius doesn't do half the cool things Chet does. I don't want to hear it.
Just because he can't block shots as well.
Yeah, because he's like a crappy defender. Yeah, I'm going to hold it against him. Sorry.
Okay.
Chet is way better than Julius Randle.
I'm not saying that he's not better. I'm just saying shooting splits wise.
Okay, 5 games, pal.
And we could say the same thing about Chet. Okay, this doesn't even matter. It's a 5-game sample size right
now. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, because it's the night before Halloween. Anyway, let's wrap this up. But before we go, Chris, you got any fun Halloween plans?
No. I don't know. I'm going to watch a scary movie, hopefully.
I am dressing up for Gomez as Gomez Adams tomorrow for work.
That's nice.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. I think that will be fun. But then I have to shave the mustache and start No Shave November, which you kind of already do year-round anyway. So
need to go back to the mustache, actually. I don't have any plans.
I'll Nightmare watch Before Christmas game on Saturday. Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. Might watch that. Definitely got to watch Hocus Pocus. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. As always, to our wonderful listeners, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Please like, subscribe, and follow along if you can. We are on Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all that fun stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I am at ClientNBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. And you can read a bunch of Sixers content on the Sixersense.com. There's always good stuff up there. You can read my stuff at fansided.com. Until next time, go Sixers. Hopefully we'll have some better games to talk about next week.
Hopefully.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but yeah, we'll talk to you all soon. Peace.
Gamers and watch lovers, stay frosty. We've got some covert intel ready. Movement, the official timekeeper of the highly anticipated Call of Duty Black Ops 6, is set to release a special edition Black Ops 6 watch and accessory collaboration. Shop the design seen in and inspired by the game. From the same military-style field watch that Troy Marshall wears inside the campaign, to aviator sunglasses pulled from CIA operative Russell Adler's in-game look. This collaboration brings the aesthetics of the new Black Ops 6 story straight to your wrist and wardrobe. It even arrives with custom packaging and a free gift with your purchase. A Movement and Call of Duty Black Ops 6 bottle opener keychain. According to the Wall Street Journal, Movement is on the path to becoming a heritage brand, while Gear Patrol hails their automatic watches as mechanical masterpieces. Own a piece of gaming history. Shop the exclusive special edition collaboration at MVMT.com/BO6. That's MVMT.com/BO6.